In the 1950s, perhaps one of the most unethical experiments of all time, but also a major trailblazer in social and developmental psychology, was the focus of Harry and Margaret Harlow. It involved isolating baby rhesus macaques and preventing them from accessing any maternal care, and leaving them with nothing but two wire figurines that vaguely, if at all, resembled a monkey. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of The Mystery of Your Mind's third season. As always, my name is Edward Thomas, and today we'll be looking at how the caregivers of our first few years influence and make us who we are as we get older. To get a good baseline of understanding, we have to revisit a couple of topics from the 13th episode of our first season, parental care. But in this episode, we'll be taking a closer look at the social impacts of poor parenting. Which brings us back to the lonely macaques. See, at the time, the belief was that the sole reason why we stay with our parents is because they give us food and security. But when the Harlows noticed that these monkeys that they were actually breeding for a totally different study were becoming extremely attached to the blankets that were inside their cages, they came up with an idea. They created two artificial quote-unquote mothers. They were both basically just steel wire-based cylinders with some sort of shape on the top of them that vaguely resembled a monkey. One of them was wrapped in cloth and was known as the quote-unquote cloth mother, while the other one had a feeding bottle attached and was known as the quote-unquote wire mother. Technically, at the time, according to their beliefs, the macaques should really only be caring about the wire mother, since it has a feeding bottle and it would provide the baby macaques food, while the other cloth mother doesn't really provide anything. Yet, nearly every macaque stayed close to the cloth mother, and if they even did go to the wire mother to get food, it was usually for not too long. They'd return right away. They were staying with the cloth mother when they were scared or for when they needed comfort or when they were anxious. Some macaques were even documented standing on the cloth mother figurine and reaching over to the feeding bottle and the wire mother, since the two figures were placed right next to each other. This was our first step in understanding the role of emotional comfort and the value of a caregiver through the sense of attachment. We see the value of attachment around us even now, too. Those who lack a proper, healthy support system might resort to other coping mechanisms like drugs and alcohol or violence. They might also stay in unhealthy relationships out of a worry of losing some sort of stability or not knowing the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships. The effects of a poor or even non-existent support system is present even in children just 1 year old. I talk more about Mary Ainsworth's strange situation experiment in the 13th episode of her first season, which you should definitely listen to after this one, but I'll give a short recap. In the 1970s, Mary Ainsworth conducted this study, where a 1 year old child was left with their parents in a room full of toys. The parent then left, and a stranger replaced them. After a bit, the parent would return and the stranger would leave. Thinking about it, your parent just left, there's someone unknown around you, and then when they return, you're going to be happy, right? So you would think that the babies would first cry, settle down a bit, and then they'd be pretty happy once their parent comes back. Well, Ainsworth found that there were actually three different types of personalities that she grouped as 1. Secure, 2. Insecure avoidant, and 3. Insecure ambivalent. The children that showed secure attachment usually were willing to still explore the toys that were around them once their parent had left, but they still weren't too happy. They would usually cry for a bit, but they would eventually settle down, and once their parent returned, they'd be super happy. That's the more typical behavior of what we would think of. But there were also those that showed what Ainsworth called insecure ambivalent attachment. They cried a lot more when their parents left, and they wanted to explore with the toys around them far less. they were also pretty mad and annoyed with their parent once they returned, unlike being happy like the securely attached kids. The final group, insecure avoidant attachment style kids, showed barely any interest in the fact that their parent had left, a stranger came in, or that their parent returned. Ainsworth realized that parents who were caring toward their children rose those securely attached kids, the kids who were sad, adjusted, and then became happy later on. Whereas mothers who kind of helicoptered their kids and were being overprotective of them and kind of obsessively worrying about everything around their children rose as insecurely ambivalent kids, the kids who cried a lot, didn't want to explore, and were pretty mad when their parents returned. And finally, parents that didn't really care about their child at all rose those insecurely avoiding kids, the kids who didn't really care much about anything that was happening. The reasons why are pretty various, and this study was not extremely conclusive or in detail, so we can't come to any formal conclusions, but some of the reasons why this might be is because those securely ambivalent kids, the kids that were crying all the time, they might be a lot more used to having a lot of support and having such a strong support system around them and always with them 24/7. That they feel very unsupportive and they are not ready to be as independent as that situation would kind of require once their parents left. And those that were insecurely avoidant, the ones who didn't really care, they were on the other side of the spectrum. Their parents allowed them to be extremely independent, but they failed to have that sort of support system around them. So to them, it didn't matter whether their parents were there or not, they were able to independently suffice. Parents are one of the biggest determinants of how we act, behave, and build emotional resilience and maturity. Of course, as we get older, the impact of what a parent does and actually affects in how we grow up and how we express ourselves changes. I talk about this again more in Season 1, Episode 13, but Kohlberg's theories of moral development says that as we're getting older, we change what we focus on in morally complex situations, from revolving around obedience as a child to conformity as an early adolescent to our more deeper rooted ideas or concepts or theories kind of governing our reactions, our actions, and our ideas as we get older. But of course, as we get older, the impact of a caregiver changes in how much our emotions are actually affected and how much our emotions depend on having that support system available and around us all the time. But essentially, over time, what we expect from others and from their actions changes. But how does all of this affect our lives beyond just our experiences with parents or others? It's a little complicated. Children who, again, are raised without parental guidance or supervision are more susceptible to not being able to control their emotions for the situation, while those that have basically been helicoptered all their life are at risk for bottling up their emotions and feelings. By either constantly outbursting or by occasionally exploding from bottled up feelings, it makes it difficult not only for others to enjoy being with you, but also for you to interact with others. Perhaps ironically, by desperately needing support during someone's youth, they can shut themselves out from the support of others unconsciously when they're older. And while we change our views and justifications as we get older, our first few years are fundamental to the development of our character, personality, expectations, and relationships. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the third season of The Mystery of Your Mind. Today, we explored parenting and how a parent's actions and how a child's responses can heavily influence their life and their social well-being later on in life. Next week, we'll be exploring pro-social behavior on our way to one of our future episodes on group dynamics and polarization. I want to send a huge thanks to you for listening to this episode once again. This episode is run completely on help and support in all forms and manners. So if you love this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe as well as to write a great comment in the reviews of whichever app that you are using right now. It helps this podcast grow, reach more people, and ultimately teach more about psychology and how it can really influence everyone's lives. Please also be sure to follow this podcast, The Mystery of Your Mind, on Instagram, at The Mystery of Your Mind. There's a link in the description that you can quickly click to find out about this page, follow us so that you can get all the tips and updates on this show, on future episodes, and so much more. In the description, there are a lot of other links as well. There are some links for where you can give feedback, where you can support me via Patreon, and more. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to have you here for the next episode.